Charles Spurgeon, Part 4. If we had 1,000 men who would preach nothing but Christ and live nothing but Christ, what would the world see? 1,000? Nay, give us but 12 men on fire with the love of Jesus, and if they would preach Christ out and out and through, and nothing else, the world would know a change before long. We should hear again the cry, "The men that turn the world upside down have come hither also." You can scarcely meet with a man who does not call himself a Christian, and yet it is equally hard to meet with one who is in the very marrow of his bones thoroughly sanctified to the good work of the kingdom of heaven. We meet with professors by hundreds, but we must expect still to meet with possessors by units. The whole nation appears to have been Christianized in an hour. But is this real? Is this sincere? Ah! We fear not. How is it that professors can live like other men? How is it that there is so little distinction between the church and the world? Ah! We have abundance of cold, calculating Christians, multitudes of professors, but where are the zealous ones? Where are the leaders of the children of God? Where are your heroes who stand in the day of battle? Where are your men who count not their lives dear unto them, that they might win Christ and be found in him? Where are those who have an impassioned love for souls? How many of our pulpits are filled by earnest, enthusiastic preachers? Alas! Look at the church. She has builded herself fine palaces, imitating popery, she hath girded herself with vestments, she has gone astray from her simplicity, but she has lost the fire and the life which she once had. The salt of the earth are now the offscouring of all things, men whom God has loved, and who have attained a high standing in godliness. These are the men who will not bow the knee to Baal, and who therefore are cast into the fiery furnace of persecution and slander. Look at the Church of England. Her articles are pure and right in most respects, yet see how her garments are defiled. She hath made the queen her head instead of God, she bows before the state, and worships the golden calf that is set up before her. Ask them whether they can spend an hour in meditation upon Christ. I beseech you, examine and cross-examine your own souls, and see whether ye be in the path, for it will go ill with you if ye shall find at last that ye were in the church, but not of it, that ye make a profession of religion, but it was only a cloak for your hypocrisy if ye should have entered into his courts below, and be shut out of the courts above. Let us learn to read our Bibles with our eyes open, to study them as men do the works of great artists, studying each figure, and even each sweet variety of light and shade. Grace reigns indeed with high control when it leads men who naturally would be selfish to practice liberality in the cause of the Redeemer. If Satan accuse you, and your enemies with loud-mouthed accusations cry out against you, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who will certainly plead your cause and clear you. At the last great day, the Lord will justify his grace before the eyes of the whole universe, for he will allow the grace-wrought virtues of his chosen ones to be unveiled, and all eyes shall see that grace reigns through righteousness. Grace does not smuggle men into heaven, but brings them up to heaven's requirements through the Spirit and the blood. There is no such thing as mere natural love to God. The only true love which can burn in the human breast towards the Lord is that which the Holy Ghost himself kindles. If thou truly lovest the God who made thee and redeemed thee, thou mayst be well assured that thou art his child, for none but his children have any love to him. The food of love is a sense of sin, and a grateful sense of forgiveness. If you and I felt more deeply the guilt of our past lives, we should love Jesus Christ better. If we have but a clearer sense that our sins deserve the deepest hell, that Christ suffered what we ought to have suffered in order to redeem us from our iniquities, we should not be such cold-hearted creatures as we are. Forgetfulness of the personality of Christ takes away the very vitality of our religion. It is enough for you that you have done it for the Master, and if the Master accepts it, you have the reward in that very fact. Not a word, I say, came from her, and, brethren, we would prefer a single speechless lover of Jesus, who acted as she did, to 10,000 noisy talkers who have no gifts, no heart, no tears. Grace does not choose a man and leave him as he is. My brethren and sisters, men rail at grace sometimes as though it were opposed to morality, whereas it is the great source and cause of all complete morality indeed. There is no real holiness in the sight of God except that which grace creates, and which grace sustains. She wept for sorrow and for shame as she thought over her early childhood, and how she had slighted a mother's training, how she had listened to the tempter's voice, and hurried on from bad to worse. Those who serve the Lord Jesus truly, have a holy bashfulness, a shrinking sense of their own unworthiness, and are content to fulfill the very lowest office in his household. But that is real service when thou canst care for the poor, when thou canst condescend to men of low estate, and become a teacher of the ignorant and an instructor of babes. He serves well who works behind his master's back, unknown and unperceived, toiling in the dark, unreported, unapplauded, and happy to have it so. The Pharisee may cavil well, perhaps it may keep his tongue from other mischief. Let him cavil, you can bear it, Christ will defend you, Jesus will accept you, and as a reward for doing what you can, he may be pleased to give you grace to do more, and may breathe over you a full assurance of faith, which had you been idle you might not for years have attained, and he may give you a peace of conscience in serving him which, had you sat still, might never have come to you. I beseech all of you who love Jesus, do not hide the light you have under a bushel, but come out and show it. If you have but a little faith, use it. If you have only a grain of faith, turn it to account. Put the one talent out at interest, and use it for the Master at once, and the Lord bless you in such a work, by increasing your faith and love, and making you to be as this woman was, a highly favored servant of this blessed Master. The path of righteousness has often conducted men to the rack, to the prison, to the gibbet, to the stake, while the road of sin has often led a man to empire, to dominion, and to high esteem among his fellows. It is not true that in this world God does punish men for sin, and reward them for their good deeds. For, did not David say, I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree, and did not this perplex the psalmist for a little season, until he went into the sanctuary of God, and then he understood their end? Although your faith assures you that the ultimate result of providence will work out only good to the people of God, yet your life, though it be but a brief part of the divine drama of history, must have taught you that providence does not outwardly discriminate between the righteous and the wicked, that the righteous perish suddenly as well as the wicked, that the plague knows no difference between the sinner and the saint, and that the sword of war is alike pitiless to the sons of God and the sons of Belial. When God sendeth forth the scourge, it slayeth suddenly the innocent as well as the perverse and froward. Death, irresistible conqueror of men, there is none that can stand against thee, thy word is law, thy will is destiny. I say again, that any advancement of the gospel, which is owing to the superstition of men, is a false advance, and it will by and by recoil upon the people who use such an unhallowed weapon. Brethren, we assert daily, with Scripture for our warrant, that God is just, and inasmuch as he is just, he must punish sin, and reward the righteous. Manifestly he does not do it in this world. Make this world the reaping place, and you have taken the sting out of sin. Oh, says the sinner, if the sorrows man endure here be all the punishment they will have, we will sin greedily. Say to them, no, this is not the world of punishment, but the world of probation, it is not the court of justice, but the land of mercy. It is not the prison of terror, but the house of long-suffering. It is awful work when through disobedience to the command of the gospel, it becomes a savor of death unto death instead of life unto life, and instead of a cornerstone it becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Remember, upon whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Christ himself has said it, and so it must be. Stay, lo of his infinite mercy, give us the willing and the obedient mind that we may not pervert the gospel to our own destruction.